Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Here with me is Pat Fitzmaurice. Find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Fitz_FF. Fitz, we were joking before we went live and you asked if I had an extra spare room or something in my house in New Hampshire, which again is where Walter White went to hide in Breaking Bad, because sounds like you're a little concerned about your safety given all the advice he gave out this morning.
Yeah, I gave a lot of bad advice out to people. I think a lot of it was like Jalen Waddle based, telling people like, I mean, I just had him like a little bit below Devonta Smith, some other people who really tanked. So, you know, I was telling a lot of people to bench Jalen Waddle, telling a lot of people to play Aaron Jones instead of AJ Dillon. I think T. Higgins was about the only thing I got right. I got a little indignant when people were like, people were saying, like, do I start T. Higgins or Marquez Valdez-Scantling? And I was just kind of throwing up my hands. Like, they're not in the same class, man.
Where, out of curiosity, where did you have him ranked? Because I did earlier this week, Pat, I did the kickoff, and he was, like, 20th in ECR. And that struck me as aggressive. Now, I actually wound up, when I redid my projection, I did a sweep last night. He wound up actually at 22nd. I don't know where he wound up at ECR, but even that felt aggressive to me. It was more just like when I did the projections, Pat, I couldn't, like, that's just kind of where he ends up every week and he doesn't usually justify it. But is that around where you were this week on him, or higher
for,
or lower?
For T,
yeah.
I think I was like 19th on it.
Wow.
Like, I love the guy. I think he's like just borderline star, you know? And like, my only concern is that he's playing alongside another star, but you know, it's an offense that can support a couple of good wideouts. So, I really like T. I think he's a terrific player.
Well, as always, a bad week for you is probably most people's greatest week. So we'll see how everything shakes out and everything like that. But in the meantime, let's rectify your failure, Pat, and let's give out some good advice right now as we go through everything that happened on a pretty interesting NFL Sunday. Before we do, let me remind you about a couple of things. Number one, as I mentioned, what I said with T. Higgins, that's on the Kickoff Podcast, which is a podcast that I do solo, 10 to 15 minutes every single weekday morning. As soon as Pat and I are done here, I'm going to go record it and write it up, actually, and record it. And it's just my thoughts. Today will be my five biggest takeaways. Tomorrow will be a waiver wire, all the good stuff. Again, you can find it anywhere that you listen to podcasts and, you know, Apple Podcasts or anything you want. And it's really easy, simple. Leave a review if you like it. That also helps us grow it, which I would appreciate because, again, we just launched it this year. Again, that's the Kickoff anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, join our Discord. That is fantasypros.com/chat. So we've got, over 25,000 people in there at this point. And now it's free for anybody to join. Okay, you can just randomly stumble along this podcast or this live stream and say, hey, I want to talk to some Fantasy Pros people. Go ahead, fantasypros.com/chat. Totally free. But there are additional channels, a million of them, in fact, for premium members. Also, I leave my DMs open for premium members, meaning that at any given time, and as Pat would tell you, I message people at like 2:30, 3 in the morning, as I did him last night. I don't sleep. So if you message me, you're going to get a response if you want any sort of fantasy advice. Again, that's fantasybros.com/chat. We do a ton of great thing in there. I do a stages, which is like a live radio show. I call you on stage. I do that tomorrow at noon. So make sure you join now. Again, that's fantasybros.com/chat.
Trust or bust.
All right, Pat, a little light on games, obviously, because we had the Thanksgiving stuff. We're not going to recap those, guys. I feel like at this point, people are like, yeah, I've digested all that. I got what all that meant. So we're going to do the Sunday games. So just one trust or bust as we always begin, Pat. Let's start there as always. Kendrick Bourne. Two touchdowns by Mac Jones. Both go to Kendrick Bourne. 6 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards. Now, Pat, I could be making this up, okay? But I feel like you had him really high on your waiver wire pickups either this week or last week, sometime recently, Pat, because we do a consensus waiver wire article. I can see where you have guys. I can see where I have guys. And I remember thinking, Pat has Kendrick Bourne much higher than I did. Now, I don't know if you were like recommending him as a top pickup or anything like that, but I felt like once upon a time, you were at least recommending him as somebody who fantasy managers should pick up and at least see where this goes. And big game here, at least 4 catches pretty much every single game. Trust or bust, Kendrick Bourne.
I'm going to say trust, Dan. It was just a couple of weeks ago where Kendrick Bourne was, I think, wide receiver 15 in half point PPR scoring. Like one of the biggest stealth performances I think you'll ever see. And I think after today's 2 touchdown performance, he's probably back in wide receiver 2 territory. I don't know if he ever slid out of it. He plays a lot. It's a pretty narrow target tree with New England. And he's just been crazy efficient this year. And it's funny because that was one of the free agent signings that I think baffled a lot of people. Like, why are they throwing all this money at Kendrick Bourne?
Right.
And he's actually been really good for them. And even today, Dan, I realized I had a vacancy at wide receiver, like starting a guy who was on bye in one of my leagues. And like needed to rectify that quickly. Check the free agent list, and lo and behold, Kendrick Bourne available. Grabbed him, started him.
Gorgeous.
Helped lead me to a victory, and I'm sure the guy I was playing was probably like, you know, licking his chops, seeing me with like DeAndre Hopkins in a starting spot, and then all of a sudden I slide Kendrick Bourne in there at the last second, and he gets 2 touchdowns. So
that's savage managing though, right? You don't just want to win. You want to rip the guy's heart out.
That's,
I love it.
Yeah. That's a fall ass backwards into 2 touchdowns managing, Dan. So I'll take it. And I do think you can trust Kendrick Bourne as like a flex level guy the rest of the way, maybe even a wide receiver 3.
Okay, so Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers. Also a good game here on this one. No touchdown, of course, because that only happens on very rare occasions with a full moon on the third Sunday of every, you know, 4 years. But which one would you prefer rest of season?
I would say Bourne because we've seen Jacoby's target volume fall off a little bit lately. And we know that there just aren't many splash plays with him. And he averages like, what, 9 or 10 yards a catch with very few touchdowns. 1 exactly.
Yes.
So, I prefer Bourne.
Never forget that I called that touchdown though, Pat, before you totally dismiss it. I did. I'm gonna have that on my tombstone. Here lies Dan Harris. He called the Jacoby Myers touchdown. All right, let's go, Pat, to what everybody cares about. And that is, I am confused by your opinion, sir.
I am confused by your opinion, sir.
And we've got a double dose here, okay? It's 2 Rams receivers. Van Jefferson, who you had 44th in your rest of season rankings. I don't mean this week. Rest of season rankings coming in. And Odell Beckham Jr., who you had 49th. Now, I had both of them, oddly enough, exactly 7 spots higher than you. Just a little, you know, odd way that worked out. But Jefferson here has the 9 targets, just the 3 catches, but of course, 93 yards with the long touchdown catch. And Beckham, 10 targets. That's great. 5 catches, 81 yards. And the touchdown. So with no Robert Woods, Pat, I mean, Tyler Higbee's hit or miss. Cooper Kupp can only see so many targets. You feel like at least one of them should have sort of been closer to wide receiver 3 value. So I will say that I am confused by your opinion on the Rams receivers, Pat.
Yes. I'm doing kind of a full fade on OBJ I just kind of don't trust him. We've seen Stafford trying to sort of force throws to him. They don't seem like they're on quite the same page a lot of the time. I mean, he did have the 54-yard touchdown today, but if you take that away, he had 3 yards per target, 27 yeah. yards on 9 other targets. So, you know, we kind of saw the first game was a little bit the same. Like, he hits him on a 10-yard out to start the game, and then the rest of the game, you know, forces a deep throw to him that winds up being a horrible arm punt type interception.
Sure.
And like OBJ, we saw him limping around after he was tackled today. He's playing with 2 bad shoulders. Like, I don't really trust him to stay healthy the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's Van Jefferson, who I actually had ranked too low. I mean, maybe you're right, probably, that someone should be ranked a little bit higher here as a compliment yeah. to Cup. You know,
I think that's the point. That's the yeah. point. Like, I think if you had one of them low and one of them high, I would understand it. Okay, you're fading it. And realistically, it should be Beckham who should be lower. I agree. That's how you have it. That's how I have it as well. For no other reason than the health state. You're absolutely right. You watch that, and at one point you're like, oh boy, I don't know. He's not going to survive this game. And he does, and he guts it out. But yeah, I'd be okay with it. But you have to think one of those guys, right, at some point is going to be closer to wide receiver 3 range, right?
Yeah, and I do kind of like Jefferson to be that guy, although he was sort of in a similar boat as Beckham today with the one big play and then very yes. inefficient with the other.
Very close to that other one with Cooper Kupp threw him the touchdown pass yes. that was originally called yes. a touchdown. That would have been
couldn't get the feet in bounds. But yes, so almost a real big day for Van Jefferson.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy. I really do think, you know, I thought when DeSean Jackson was out that it was going to be Jefferson. He was going to be a guy who you could roster and feel pretty decent about. And certainly with Woods out, I definitely have a guy. Now, obviously, again, you're right. 9 targets, 3 catches, and 79 of his 93 yards or whatever he had came on that one play. So it definitely is something that you could be a little concerned about. But overall, I'm going to check in next week with you, Pat, and see where you have Van Jefferson ranked, because I expect him to be moving up. And I'm sorry, I'm just seeing an update on Debo, but there's not much concern on Debo for all the people asking in our chat. Adam Schefter just tweeted that out. He's going to have an MRI, but there's not much concern about him right now, which is great news for a guy who doesn't need to catch passes, is just basically a quasi running back at this point. All right, Pat, let's get into the games here.
Matchup recaps.
Bengals 41, Steelers 10. Total domination by the Bengals, which was not what I anticipated in this game, if you remember our Betting Bros podcast. Mixon, 32 touches, 163 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Pat, we both had him ranked 6th in our rest of season rankings. If anything, perhaps we were too low. But we know Mixon's good. Let's not draw too many conclusions about the passing game overall here because it was such a blowout. I mean, Burrow was good, but just 190 yards passing. Again, T. Higgins was a guy we were just talking about. 8 targets, 6 catches, 114 yards, and a touchdown. Meanwhile, Ja'Marr Chase, 3 targets, catches all of them for 39 yards. 32, 49, 32, 39 yards in his last 4 games. He does have 2 touchdowns, but you obviously feel relatively confident in T. Higgins. You just feel confident that both these guys are going to produce startable numbers each and every week, no questions asked for the most part.
I do. And Chase doesn't need a lot of targets, I guess, to hit necessarily, although obviously the last few games for him have not gone ideally. And this was obviously a game script where they just didn't need to throw a lot. 2 of the completions to Chase were just the same throw. Like, he's immediately throw it to him in the left flat and let him do something. And I think both times he actually, you know, made moves and picked up a first down. I guess just no concerns here. There are going to be instances where they need to throw more and where we see some of those big chase numbers that we saw earlier in the season. He's just in a bit of a drought right now, and today was entirely game script related.
I will say that we have Kyle Yates, who is not appearing on this podcast, but is joining us here on the live stream. And if you're watching, you could see his comment, which is now plastered on our screen. It's good to see you, Yates. I will be skipping the Eagles-Giants game so as to not hear your opinion or not talk about at all Jalen Hurts with you being on this live stream. But we have a while before we get there, so let's keep going here with this game. there's actually some production somehow with these Steelers for the most part. Not everybody, obviously, but Pat Freiermuth catches the late touchdown pass, 4 for 40. Chase Claypool has 8 targets, catches just 3 of them, but 82 total yards you will definitely take. Deontay Johnson, I mean, he cleans up a lot in garbage time, Pat. Don't ask me why he's still in the game here, you know, over the last couple of drives, but in the end, sees his customary kind of 14 targets, 9 catches, 95 yards. But without the volume, it is bad here for Najee Harris. 8 for 23 on the ground, 5 targets, 3 catches, 14 yards. I don't know, Pat. What do you make of this game? I mean, are there any big takeaways for you here from the Steelers side?
Yeah, I mean, their offense is in such dire need of a rebuild. Basically, they can't block anyone. I mean, they just can't get anything going in the running game because they cannot move anyone off the line of scrimmage. And they obviously need a changing of the guard at quarterback and have no real, they're not going to be well positioned in the draft for a rookie. They're, it seems like they are not one of the commonly mentioned teams in connection with either Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson or anyone else of note who might be available after this season. So, I don't know where they go from here. Some good pass catching talents, but, the infrastructure is woefully in need of repair.
You mentioned, I mean, the offensive line, and it's true, but, you know, Najee produces like each and every week. So obviously he didn't hear. They have Baltimore next week. I mean, do you have actual, I mean, you're always starting Najee Harris, of course, because yes, the volume is going that way. So but we have to ask the question, like, do you have actual concerns? Because the offensive line seemed to overall have been playing a little bit better as the season had gone on. It looked like they changed their scheme a little bit, but I mean, I'll check where you had Harris ranked. Are you moving him down after this? Does this give you some actual concerns here going forward? You had Harris ranked 5th rest of season. I mean, is he basically staying there? Or is he moving down?
Yeah, I mean, he might go down a spot or two, but for the most part, not too worried, just because he has that versatility. Like, he's kind of game script proof. Unless they're getting, you know, blown out today and had Kalen Ballagian at the end of the game just because they were getting trucked so badly. But he can run, he can catch. There are times where they've got the running game going and he's had a couple of 100-yard outings, but man, it just did not look good today. They can do nothing on offense and, just the same sort of inefficiency for Roethlisberger. As you mentioned, all the targets for Deontay Johnson and they're like empty, 6 yards per target or whatever. So
yeah,
it was kind of gross.
Yeah. Well, thankfully he gets 13 targets every single game, which saves him. And, you know, they give him these, you know, short area targets designed to get him in space at the very least, which is something that's good. But yeah, again, Harris should be pretty safe regardless of game script, just because he factors in so much to the passing game, unless it's you're down by 30 points and the game is over in the third quarter, in which case, yeah, let's get some Kalen Ballage. All right. So before we keep going, right before I started this podcast, Pat, I got a text message on my phone, which told me that I was outbid on Pristine Auction, because that's actually how I have my settings set up, so that I know I get a text message, whatever I'm doing. So if you see me looking to the side right now, I'm not looking at the schedule, I'm not looking at notes, I'm looking at whether or not I am winning the AJ Brown signed jersey that I'm trying to buy for my son for Christmas to go along with his signed Derrick Henry jersey. He's a huge Titans fan. Don't ask me why. But that's what I love about it, actually, is that I get notified immediately. I don't have to sit there and wonder whether or not I'm going to win this item. I know, because I get a text message and an email if I set it up that way. And look, I want to win this jersey. I really do, for Will. But if I don't, I'm not concerned about it, because I know there's going to be a million more items up for bid tomorrow, like 10,000 football items that are up for bid right now. And I'm going to go searching, and you can do a Pristine Auction, because that's how it works. It's free to register for it. It is free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And there are amazing prices. Again, I've probably bought like 15 items. I bought coins, actually. This is not a joke. I bought coins a few days ago because my daughter really likes to collect coins. And they have some cool, like really old ones and really rare ones that I got on Pristine Auction. And she's going to get them for her birthday, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. You can get anything you want. Now, of course, you probably want football items, which is great. Again, as I said, over 10,000 right now for sale on there. Just go to pristineauction.com, see for yourself, PristineAuction.com. And if you want $5 in free credits, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field. When you sign up, they will know that we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. All right, Pat, let's keep going here with the games. Let's go to, what should we go next? Let's do Bucks. Yes, that's the next one. Bucks 38, Colts 31. So Leonard Fournette, decent game here. 17 carries, 100 yards and 3 touchdowns, 8 targets, 7 catches, 31 yards with another touchdown. So someone questioned me on Twitter, Pat, when I did the trade values chart, which I do every single week. Last one was last week. And he was like, why do you have Fournette, you know, like a step below here, DeAndre Swift and Daryl Henderson? And I said, well, the schedule upcoming is brutal, beginning with this week. You know, of course, the Colts are very good against the run. Thought Ronald Jones may factor in here. And this was just a really tough run defense, and he just ran all over them. Again, the schedule going forward, Pat, not that great. After Atlanta, it's Buffalo, it's New Orleans, and then the Panthers, so it's not the best. But after this, Pat, he's locked in RB1 even. Can we say that going forward?
I think we can. You know, his rushing volume had tapered off a little bit in recent weeks. We saw it climb back up here. But what's great is he is getting that massive target volume. Like, I saw a film breakdown, and I wish I could give proper credit for this, but it was somewhere. Like, if Brady gets hit, subsequently he will, like, miss open wide receivers and check it down to Leonard Fournette to just, like, get rid of the ball and not take additional hits. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Fournette has become such a safety blanket for him. And Fournette is, you know, looking at Fournette's career stats, that one season in Jacksonville where he caught, what, 78 passes something like that. That seemed like such an outlier. Like, I think he's on pace to equal or top that at this point. And, you know, and he looked really good running the ball, too. He looked like 2015 Leonard Fournette in Baton Rouge, where he was just laying waste to the SEC. Yeah. I mean, that game winner in the final minute was incredible. Like, that was just like him being a complete beast with contact and breaking tackles. So, yeah, I mean, he just looked fantastic. And I do think he has to be just right on the cusp of RB1 range, if not inside that cut line.
As usual, Pat, you had him ranked one spot higher than I did. So kudos to you for the rest of the season, not this week. I don't look at this week's rankings at all. And the difference between that and, you know, this and that Jacksonville sort of, you know, whatever he had, 83 for whatever reason, Pat, is the number that sticks out in my mind for the receptions. I don't know exactly what it was. But regardless, he's doing something with these receptions, right? Remember last time it was like, okay, great, you got all those receptions, that's fantastic. But it was just like, okay, good, these are kind of like empty receptions. Here he gets the ball and he's in space and he just looks absolutely fantastic. Yep. So yeah, to that random Twitter, you know, follower who questioned me about my values, I think you're right. If I did another trade chart, but I'm not, because we're past the deadline pretty much for all leagues, then I'd be moving Fournette up. So my bad on that one. All right. So Brady obviously has a poor fantasy game here, 226 yards, one touchdown and a pick. But I mean, again, hard to follow them too much. It was just not the touchdowns here. Rob Gronkowski looks amazing. 10 targets, 7 catches, 123 yards. Pat, you had him 15th rest of the season. I assume now you are back all in on Gronk, right?
Yes, yes. Mea culpa there. He needs to be much higher. I mean, he, in a game where there was no Antonio Brown, he somehow managed to, like, single-handedly marginalize Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yep. So we have to talk about that. And by the way, there's a reason he's not in I'm Confused by Your Opinion, sir, because I had him 20th rest of season. So you are the smart guy in this. I was just concerned about the health, you know, and I kind of wanted to see it. And now I've seen it and he will be skyrocketing back up. But let's talk about the receivers then, Pat, because of it. I mean, look, Chris Godwin, you know, I feel like Godwin's entitled to a little bit of a down game here. 4 for 24. He also lost the fumble. But Mike Evans, 5 targets, 3 catches, 16 yards. And I feel like, again, if he doesn't get the quote unquote touchdown deodorant, there are times more often than not where he's going to disappoint. And now you do have Antonio Brown supposed to come back, Pat, next week. I mean, that's all the talk, obviously, of it. And you've got Gronk, you've got Fournette, such a factor in the passing game. Do you have any concerns about either or both of the Bucs wide receivers that played today, Godwin and Evans?
I mean, I do. I think they're both going to be starting, but I think they might both be ranked in wide receiver 2 range. I've been consistently ranking, I think, both, like, in wide receiver 1 range with AB out. But now with Gronk coming to the fore, with Brady so comfortable checking down to Fournette and so anxious to do that when he does take those big hits, I think you have to wonder about these guys. We might see a little bit what we saw last year with Evans, where it is kind of his value is very touchdown dependent. And if he doesn't get those touchdowns often, you'll be disappointed in what you get.
Yeah. And I've been saying he's a sell high forever, and he just keeps making me look like an idiot. So for one day, at least, I'm very happy to not look like an idiot. I will say again, we're in the live stream. Never had it so good. Says Wednesday trade deadline in my league. Never had it so good. I believe is a member of our Discord. If the name is the same on Discord, and guess what, bud, you're a premium member. Go ahead and DM me. No problem. I will answer your trade question even without the chart. So let's get it going there. All right. So let's go to the Colts here. This looked like a little bit of an obnoxious. We're facing the Bucs. Let's avoid the run, even though we have, you know, maybe the best running back in the game here with Jonathan Taylor. He does wind up with 97 yards on 20 touches. With the touchdown, so that's good. And Carson Wentz throws for 306 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks with the lost fumble. The touchdowns go to Jack Doyle. Has a big game here, 6 for 81. Ashton Doolin catches the one long 62-yard pass. T.Y. Hilton catches a touchdown, 4 for 28. Michael Pittman Jr. here, you know, I lament the lack of targets, Pat, usually for Pittman whenever we talk about him. He gets the targets in this one, 10 targets, 4 catches only, though, 53 yards. So I assume you had him ranked at wide receiver 14, Pat. I assume this game does nothing to impact that opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we had been lamenting that lack of targets, and today was the lack of efficiency. Maybe, you know, I might have to move him down a little bit. We saw T.Y. Hilton kind of factor in, although he played, I think, fewer snaps than Zach Pascal did today. But, you know, Hilton showed he can be impactful still. And, you know, Jack Doyle came to the fore, although I don't think that's anything lasting. I mean, Doyle,
right,
you know, ran routes on, I think, fewer than half his snaps. So that was just kind of a fluky performance by him. But yeah, I mean, I still think Pittman is just a wide receiver too. It's just kind of a matter of where on the wide receiver two spectrum he goes.
Yeah, and I was a little, I mean, they did do the, you know, Wentz read it right. He was in single coverage on that long one that turned out to be an interception, and he just didn't come down with it or anything like that. So this is, if anything, it's encouraging, obviously, for me. I need the targets. I don't really care that much about anything else, right, with Pittman. He's so good. Just give him more than 5 targets every single game, I'll be fine. So
can we go back to the Jonathan Taylor thing for a second?
Yes.
Remember how we were congratulating Frank Reich for having learned his lesson from that week 8 loss to the Titans, where Taylor had only 16 carries and Wentz threw 51 passes. They lost in overtime. And in the 3 games since, Taylor had gotten 72 carries.
Yeah.
Today, going into the penultimate drive of the game where the Colts drove down and got the game tying touchdown, Taylor had 8 carries before that in the entire game. And the Colts had let a lead and command of the game slip through their fingers. They wise up again. They give Taylor 8 carries on that final drive. He runs for 58 yards and eventually the touchdown, salvaging his day. But he, again, where was the volume before that, Dan? It was just Frank.
I feel like coaches outthink themselves when they go up against the Bucs, and Vea is healthy, you know, which is silly to do. And I mean, Vea's out there without a helmet on, getting, you know, is losing teeth out there and not really caring that much about it. I'd be scared to run the ball at him too. But yeah, it was ridiculous. I agree. Like, I was thankful that's his, but it really felt like they overthink things. Like, you know, We can exploit them in the air. We'll do it, even though you have a guy who is absolutely dominating on the ground. So, again, thankfully, he salvages his fantasy day, of course. But, yeah, we were close to an absolute nightmare. We saw an absolute nightmare for one side here in the Dolphins 33, Panthers 10. Let's start with the Panthers here. First, Christian McCaffrey, he reportedly rolled his ankle. I didn't see it, Pat, when it happened originally. I just, you know, saw he wasn't really in the second half. And he was reportedly in a walking boot after the game. Now, they do have a bye next week, so obviously we can remember that. So hopefully he gets fully healthy, but obviously not great to see him dealing with another injury. Just 10 for 35 on the ground. Nothing in the passing game. 1 target, no catches here. So, again, we'll monitor that. Cam Newton, absolutely atrocious. 5 for 21. And, Pat, remember we were joking about the Scott Fishbowl and how I was like, look, I managed to solve my quarterback problems. And if you guys don't know, the Scott Fishbowl penalizes heavily for incomplete passes and everything like that. So Cam was like a negative 20 this week, but 5 for 21, 92 yards, 2 picks. He does rush for the touchdown, but just 5 yards pulled for PJ Walker. DJ Moore did see his 10 targets and get four catches for 103 yards. But so again, Pat, there's a buy. I guess let's start with Cam. We both had Cam at QB 13 rest of season here. I guess, what do we expect out of the buy, assuming that CMC is healthy? Do we think Cam's going to start? Do we think the offense gets back to what we saw last week?
I think they'll give Cam one more chance just because we've seen that PJ Walker isn't the answer either. Like, we know PJ Walker isn't the answer. And it's weird. It got like, there was a good start for Cam. He hits DJ Moore with the long 64 yarder. Although it looked like that could have been a touchdown if DJ didn't have to sort of hold up and wait for a slightly underthrown ball. He runs for the touchdown, and then, oh my gosh, everything just short circuited so badly after that. That's the guess, that he gets one more chance as a starter. But man, I mean, like, I don't think it was panicky to think that he was. We talked about this last week that, you know, any way you slice it, Cam is now a below average passer among starting quarterbacks. But, you know, with that running goodness, he could still be an above average fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
But man, he was just such a bad passer today. It was just terrible. Awful. Like, I mean, throws just kind of all over the place. And So, I mean, I had bumped him up from, I think, quarterback 17 or quarterback 18. Yeah. I'm probably going to drop him right back down to that area, if not a little bit lower after today. It was pretty frightening.
We have been identical in our rankings. We had him 18 last week. We had him 13. And again, the first time I look at our rankings, Pat, is as I prepare for the show on Sunday when I pull them up and I get it. And it's funny to me when we have guys exactly ranked. So let's assume McCaffrey's healthy rest of season, Pat. I mean, just so I could ballpark it, would you prefer, forget about the bye week, okay? Let's just say even number of weeks, Christian McCaffrey or Austin Eckler rest of season?
I think Eckler.
Yeah.
I think Eckler.
I think that's right. I think that's right, especially with Eckler, by the way, getting the rushing touchdowns, which is a surprising development so far this week. All right, for the Dolphins, I mean, they just look good, like nothing crazy other than Waddle, which we'll talk about in a second. Tua throws for 230 with the touchdown. He doesn't need to do that much. But again, Waddle, 10 targets, 9 catches, 137 yards with the touchdown. You had him 26. Forget about this week, Pat, where you said that you misled some people, I guess, on him. We can talk about him. But you had him 26 rest of season, Pat, in your rest of season rankings. He could have been confused by your opinion, man. Why don't you love Jaylen Waddle?
Recent performances had not been great. I mean, he'd been getting the targets, but he had been consistently like under 80 yards, no touchdowns. I can't remember when his last touchdown before today had been, maybe going back to like week five. Oh, no, it was the two touchdowns.
The two touchdown one in London, right?
Yes, that was the last time he had.
No, didn't he have a rushing touchdown after that?
Oh, maybe he did.
I think he had the rushing
touchdown. Forgetting about a rushing touchdown. Yes. Yeah, first TD catch since the London.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. Double. Okay. So, it was kind of that, like the lack of efficiency, I guess, plus the impending returns, well, maybe of Devontae Parker and
maybe
Will Fuller with the never healing finger. So eventually there might be target competition, but, today he had it all to himself. I told a lot of people for some reason I got like Devonta Smith versus, Jaylen Waddle in like two dozen start sit questions. I told all of them to start Devonta Smith. So that's why I'm coming to your place in New Hampshire, why your son is going to have to share his bedroom with me for the next couple of weeks, if not months, Dan, because I probably cost some people fantasy playoff spots.
I feel like you lose in that situation, Pat, but rest assured he has the room for you and you're good to go. Yeah, I do feel like when you answer start sit questions, I always feel like it's like the one player that you are constantly answering questions about, and like he either has like the huge game and you said to sit, or he has like the terrible game. It just always feels that way. I'm sure you only cost, you know, fewer than 1,000 people probably there. That I wouldn't worry too much about. All right, so for the running game here, Myles Gaskin 16 for 49 on the ground and he gets 2 touchdowns. Philip Lindsay, 12 carries, 42 yards, a lot of it in garbage time. So, look, Gaskin gets 15 touches a game, man, but like 3.0, 1.7, 2.2, 3.9, 3.1 yards per carry. He obviously factors into the passing game sometimes too. How do you just generally feel about Myles Gaskin? Because I feel like every time I recommend him and start sit, everybody like sort of rolls their eyes and gets annoyed at it.
Well, before today, Dan, I mean, I thought he fell pretty squarely into like mid to late RB2 territory because he was getting this massive workload. He had been averaging, I think, 20 touches a game for the last month. But I'm a little more worried about it after today because he only played half of their offensive snaps, 37 of 74. More action for Philip Lindsay. And granted, some of it was garbage time at the end of the game. But it seemed like Salvon Ahmed got out of the doghouse finally and played a little bit in at least a little in meaningful situations when the game was still competitive. So, yeah, I mean, kind of the same way, like that Miami offensive line is not very good. He's going to struggle and be inefficient. But volume is volume. So, yeah. You know, I think he's now I would move him down to like lower RB2, high end RB3 territory.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is obviously they get the Giants and then they have a bye and then the Jets. So it is something where at least they've got that sort of. Yeah. Right.
Speaking of running backs from this game, Dan, just to backtrack on the Panthers for 1 second, I think it's worth noting that Ameer Abdullah has like suddenly passed Chuba Hubbard on the depth chart in Carolina. So people looking to handcuff CMC during this bye week, even though the Panthers do that week 13 bye, I think we're going to see a lot of action on the waiver wires with Ameer Abdullah this week.
Yeah, it was interesting because I wasn't sure whether that's just sort of something that comes into play if it's like, well, we're passing, but he obviously, I mean, you know, Hubbard played only 11 snaps in this game. So that is something. It's a good point. Obviously, yeah, we've got the bye week, so it's tough really for people to pick him up. But also, Pat, I love the assertiveness now where you just basically like, no, I want to talk about that. We didn't talk about that because I know you keep removing and you bring it up. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. So don't worry about it. All right. Before we get to the next game, you guys know Props Fantasy. I've been talking about it before on many shows, this one and the Friday one. You can challenge friends and, you know, your fantasy team versus their fantasy team, even if you're not in the same league or anything like that. Well, now Props Fantasy is introducing the Tournament of Champions. That is a 3-week playoff style tournament between the best podcast analyst in the biz, and that started this week, and it's a battle of analysts, us including at Fantasy Pros here, Dynasty Nerds, Ball Blast, and more. Join Props Fantasy, back your favorite team, and you can make money when they win. It is super easy. Just sync your team from Sleeper or Yahoo, create a challenge, and then crown yourself the undisputed champion. Sign up with propsfantasy.com/pros. Cash in on the Tournament of Champions. Again, that started with this week, week 12 action. Also, registration gives you a chance to win a signed Aaron Rodgers helmet. And the more challenges you enter, the more chances you have to win. Again, propsfantasy.com/pros. All right, Pat, let's keep going here with the games. Let's go to the Patriots 36, Titans 13. Mac Jones throws 4-3-10 with 2 touchdowns. Again, both of them go to Kendrick Bourne that we talked about. Jacoby Myers does have the nice game here, 8 targets, 5 catches, 98 yards. But let's talk about the running backs, Pat. They split the work again. Harris finds the end zone, 11 carries, 40 yards with the touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson, 9 carries, 46 yards. Same deal as usual, Pat. I feel like we rank and start both guys as sort of like high-end flexes, but nothing more.
Yeah, that's about it. And I think the running back snaps for the Patriots were almost split perfectly. 1/3 each, Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, Brandon Bolden.
Brandon Bolden, yep.
So, yeah, not much separation between Harris and Stevenson. I think edge to Harris because he does still seem to be the favored green zone running back.
Yeah.
The better likelihood for touchdowns. So, yeah, I think we're going to have these guys somewhere in the mid to upper 20s in our rankings going forward. And probably in a lot of start sit questions over the next few weeks, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the issue really is that Bolden is just the passing downs back. I mean, you see, you were getting Stevenson getting work in the passing game right now. He got one, you know, one target in this game. So it is something where, you know, that does cap the value a little bit of both of them for sure. But again, both guys, because they'll give you decent numbers pretty much each and every week. And can we drop Hunter Henry? 5 targets, 2 catches, 16 yards.
Yes. Right. I mean, he goes from like this guy. How many straight games did he have touchdowns in? Like 5 or something? And now
I think it was more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Completely droppable because Jonnu Smith is back. And if Yates is still watching, he's going to be happy about that.
I think he Jonnu is. He went to bed a while ago. But yeah, I do think that he's probably pretty excited about Johnny. But yeah, drop Hunter Henry. Again, you've got, you know, decent tight ends. Although we did lose Dan Arnold today to an injury. Hopefully it's not that bad. For the Titans, both running backs impressed. They both lose pretty critical fumbles, but they both impressed. Dontrell Hilliard, you know, everybody was like, he'll factor into the passing game. Definitely one catch for 2 yards, but 12 carries for 131 yards with the touchdown, had that long touchdown run. And Deonta Foreman, 19 carries for 109 yards. Your leading receiver is Nick Westbrook-Ikhina with 2 catches for 25 yards. He does get the touchdown after poor Mike Vrabel had to angrily waste that challenge flag on what was an obvious touchdown. Tannehill throws for just 93 yards. It's hard to analyze this with no weapons, Pat, but that's all they have. They have no weapons, and now they have a bye. We haven't been able to talk about the running backs, Pat, since they cut Adrian Peterson. So, I mean, based on what you saw, both guys were effective. What do you think about the running game going forward?
Yeah, and they split snaps basically 50-50. Hilliard looks really good. And yep. Credit, first of all, to the Titans offensive line. They did a whale of a job today creating space in the running game against a really good New England defense. I would not have expected that, you know, two backs were going to both hit for fantasy against the Patriots, especially when it's two backs who were complete non-factors when the season began. I'm really curious to see what happens when Jeremy McNichols comes yep. back from this concussion. And you would think that's going to be soon. You know, pretty atypical for someone to miss two games already with a concussion. So,
and they have a bye now. So,
and they do have a bye. So, yeah, right. They're going to be really hard to rank going forward just because we do not know what sort of role McNichols is going to have. But I don't think Hilliard will be completely displaced.
Yeah.
Because he's looked really good, both running and versatile. Boy, who would have thought, Dan, that, D'Ernest Johnson and Dontrell Hilliard,
yes.
former third and fourth running backs for the Cleveland Browns, would like play such meaningful roles in the 2021 fantasy season.
I think that sums up 2021 fantasy better than anything that we could say. Giants 13, Eagles 7. Saquon Barkley had that 32-yard run early. It looked good, and then he gained 8 more yards on his 12 other carries. He does add 4 catches for 13 yards through the air. Pat, you had him 10th in your rest of season rankings coming in. Are you going to move him down after this game?
Yeah. That one carry where he looked fantastic. Ugh. And then I think 16 touches otherwise for 21 yards, if you include the receptions.
Yep.
So, this offense is just so bad. And you maybe thought that this would have been a game for him to click with the Giants so depleted at wide receiver without Kadarius Toney, without Sterling Shepard, and it just didn't happen at all.
Yeah, it was bad to see. I will say, though, are you at all encouraged? First game without Jason Garrett, 47 targets, 3 catches, and 50 yards with Kenny Golladay. I mean, obviously, again, no Kadarius Toney and no Sterling Shepard, but more involved than we usually see from Golladay. Is there any reason to be optimistic here?
No, just because as I tweeted earlier today, like, I don't know if Kenny Golladay has gotten 5 feet of separation
yeah.
collectively on all the routes he's run all season. Like, he is wearing defenders like a well-tailored Italian suit constantly. Yeah. Like, he just can't get any separation. And that used to be less of a problem, I guess, when Matthew Stafford was his quarterback. But with Daniel Jones, he needs a little bit of separation because it just... I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen him targeted and like a defender is right there, like reaching over his shoulder to bat the ball away right as
yep.
it comes. And so I'm not optimistic at all.
For the Eagles, just really ugly. Jalen Reagor is probably not going to see another target for the rest of the season after dropping multiple game winners basically at the end of the game. But talk about the running game here, Pat, because I feel like we did trust or bust with Miles Sanders, and Sanders was a trust, I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong, with Jordan Howard out. 9 for 64, that's a good YPC, but Boston Scott, 15 for 64, so not as efficient. He does find the end zone. He's used a lot around the goal line. Now, he does lose a really bad fumble, so I'm not sure if that changes things here going forward. But again, I think you trusted Miles Sanders last time we talked, maybe last week. Do you still trust him?
I do. So apparently, and I didn't see this, I was trying to follow multiple games at once,
sure.
and apparently there was some sort of leg injury for Miles Sanders. Minor, he left in the second half, was kind of in and out after that, apparently. Okay. So, something to watch. He was able to come back and play through it, but I think it did cost him a few snaps and probably a few touches in the second half. But I do think it probably would have been a 50-50 anyway with Scott and Sanders.
I did miss that. I saw him limp off. I went like slightly, it looked like a little bit, but I didn't like, it didn't look that bad or anything like that. And I think I saw him back in a little bit.
He did come back. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, you're right. If it's health and okay. And again, Scott did lose a fumble that could cost him going forward. So yeah, again, and you know, we'll see about,
Jordan Howard.
What is he?
Sure.
But I don't expect it. I mean, just me. I fade injuries anyway, especially with a guy like Howard. So it's there. Again, Yates is not in the chat right now, so I can talk about it, which is that Jalen Hurts was terrible. Just 129 yards passing with three picks. Again, it's sort of the Cam thing that we talked about. He adds a 77 yards rushing at least, right? So you're like, okay, well, you know, worst case scenario, that's what we've got. But again, you mentioned the Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith sort of debate, and Devontae Smith, you know, as Jalen Hurts struggles, so too do the pass catchers that we rely on. Devontae Smith, 4 targets, 2 catches, 22 yards. Dallas Goedert, 1 catch on 3 targets for 0 yards. Does this game make you at all question your rest of season rankings on either of those guys?
Yeah, we'll have to be careful with them. I mean, because we have seen from, I think, week 7 to week 11, Eagles running backs average 30.8 carries a game and just completely dwarfing the passing game for the Eagles. And I think today was only maybe 24 carries for Eagles running backs, but I think that might have still exceeded the number of pass attempts for Jalen Hurts or been right around it. So, yeah. And boy, I don't know, Dan, it seems like every time, just when we're like this close to thinking Hurts can be a good enough NFL passer to stick, you know, to anchor himself as a starting quarterback for, you know, next year solidly. Yep. He has a game like this where he just looks like hell. And I think that is going to be an interesting storyline in the offseason with whether the Eagles want to go into the 2022 season with Hurts as their starter.
Yeah. And I think there was a Rappaport article or something earlier today before the game about how it's like, look what Hurts has done. He's changed the entire sort of way the Eagles are looking at their future. And then this, where he really did look terrible. And again, this was a game they could have sort of gotten back into the division, you know, sort of threatened for the division crown with Dallas losing. But yeah, this was just an egg all around. Falcons 21, Jags 14. Quite the difference with Cordarrelle Patterson here on the field. 16 carries, 108 yards and 2 touchdowns, 3 targets. 2 catches and 27 yards through the air. He is very good. Kyle Pitts, though, and we've got some people asking about him in the chat. 6 targets, 2 catches, 26 yards. Pat, you have stubbornly refused to move him down in your rest of season rankings. Still third for you, Pat. I think it's time to move him down, don't you think, from there?
It is time to move him down, Dan. And I think the Falcons' lack of firepower at wide receiver is allowing defenses to throw everything but the kitchen sink, maybe the kitchen sink too, at Kyle Pitts defensively. Yeah. And you saw it, like there were a couple times in this game where Matt Ryan got like 4, 5, 6 seconds to throw, where he was like scanning the field, couldn't find anyone. I mean, there was one time I think he had like 6 seconds and wound up taking a sack. And, you know, a lot of people would be screaming at Matt Ryan, but like Matt Ryan will dump the ball off if there's no one to throw. Like he has no compunction about like being stubborn and trying to like force something downfield. No one gets open.
Right.
These wide receivers are just abysmal on this team. And, you know, I think it's costing Pitts. Like he's having to go up against cornerbacks, and maybe the solution is to move him in line more often so he can actually go against safeties and linebackers.
Right.
I'm going to have to move him down. It's just kind of bleak. And I think the situation at wide receiver is allowing opposing defenses to really concentrate on stopping Kyle Pitts and not letting him beat them.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you mentioned it, the other wide receivers are, you know, just not really getting separation. But I will say, you know, Russell Gage, again, 7 targets, 6 catches, 62 yards with the touchdown. He does have 15 targets over the last 2 games. If you're desperate at wide receiver, any interest there or just move on?
No, just because we've seen like 2 goose eggs in the last 5 games or whatever. Yeah. Like he'll show up every so often. He is the best of a bad group, but You know, it's such a shaky floor. I don't think you want to trust in Russell Gage.
More of the same here for the Jaguars, other than, again, the Dan Arnold injury. So we'll have to monitor that. But he left pretty early and did not return. James Robinson, 20 touches, 115 yards. Marvin Jones, 7 targets, 4 catches, 43 yards. Laviska Shenault, 9 targets, 5 catches, 33 yards. We thought maybe no Jamal Agnew. Maybe, you know, Shenault would start breaking out. But it gets targets, but it's kind of more of the same. Is this just what we usually think when we look at the Jaguars, Pat, which is you start James Robinson and you kind of ignore everybody else at this point?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, every time you get your hopes up about Laviska Shenault, now it's Laquon Treadwell is getting as many or more targets than Laviska. Yes. And with the slot usage, it just means that he's going to have an A dot of like 3 yards, and you know, whatever he does catch is not going to be worth very much in fantasy.
Yep. Everybody wants Shenault to be a thing, but he's not going to be a thing, at least not right now. Jets 21, Texans 14. So no Michael Carter, but nobody cares because you have Austin Walter, 9 carries, 38 yards and a touchdown. I got a lot of text messages from my buddies who play fantasy. Were very angry and blaming me personally because I'm a Jets fan for that. I didn't do anything. Tevin Coleman does get 16 carries for 67 yards. 2 catches for 3 yards through the air. Ty Johnson, 6 carries for 42 yards. They've got the Eagles next. Are you willing to start any Jets running back in that game?
Probably not. Not unless I'm really desperate. Maybe in my 16-team league.
Yeah.
Even there, I was lucky. I didn't have to. I was tempted to play Ty Johnson, but didn't. It was really tempting. I'm so glad I didn't. Yeah, Austin Walter, Dan, one of two guys I had to like go and like look up, like, who is this guy? That's weird. You know, we're the fantasy experts.
I'm a Jets fan. And I was still like, wait, Austin Walter? Like, I knew the name, but like very, very vaguely. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, he was a committee back at Rice, who I think his high was like 500 and some rushing yards. But he did have like 1,000 yards from scrimmage his senior year because he caught a lot of balls. He was like a 44 catch, 500 yard guy like that. The other guy was Cody Hollister. I forgot to talk about him with the Titans game. Mm-hmm. He was second in wide receiver snaps for him. Cody Hollister's single season college high in receiving yardage, 140 yards. And he was second on the Titans in snaps today. Pity Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I do actually feel very bad for Ryan Tannehill. I thought he was
going to have AJ Brown and Julio Jones. He's throwing Cody Hollister and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
I know. It was quite the day for him. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson rushes for the touchdown, but he kind of kills the fantasy value of everyone, but also Elijah Moore, who we've sort of come to love. 8 targets still, 4 catches, 46 yards. He does add 1 rushing attempt for 7 yards. James Crowder, 1 target, 1 catch, 5 yards. Again, no Corey Davis against a relatively weak defense. So little production. So, Pat, you had Moore 33rd. I am 34th rest of season. Are you keeping him there or moving him down?
Moving him down a little bit until we see some chemistry with Wilson. And by the way, that was the other guy I was telling people to start over Jalen Waddle today, Elijah Moore.
Right.
So, he's going to be good. I think it's tough to keep him out of your lineup because I think there probably are still going to be some explosion games from him going forward. But I think we need the show me game from him with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think that this is a downgrade for him, but still somebody who I think you can probably get away with starting. And 8 targets at least is good. He's going to be heavily involved. And I do like that they gave him a rushing attempt, if for no other reason than it shows like, okay, we know where our bread is buttered. We know we have to get him involved as much as possible. By the way, Pat, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Jamison Crowder is probably droppable now. Elijah Moore has really kind of stolen his thunder, and Keelan Cole outsnapped Jamison Crowder today, 64-33.
I love how on top of the snaps you are right now, Pat, given that this is a rapid recap. This is why I love having you on. For the Texans, Tyrod Taylor throws 2 touchdown passes, but throws for just 158 yards. He does rush for 30. Brandon Cooks is your leading receiver with 45 yards, but that comes on the back of like 1 40-yard reception. David Johnson, 55 total yards. Rex Burkhead, 54 total yards. I try to think of things to discuss with the Texans each week, Pat, but I kind of run out. Does anything stick out to you from the Texans side in this game?
just a really bad week for the pure Konami code quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor.
I don't think you're watching this game right now, this Baltimore-Cleveland game, but it's not getting any better. I can tell you that.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Interesting.
I don't want to spoil too much. Sorry, go ahead. But yeah, this is a bad week for those quarterbacks. I'll say that.
Yeah, so no, that's about it. I mean, Rex Burkhead outsnapped David Johnson 35-22. So I don't know. I mean, again, I think the Texans running back situation is just such a pit of sorrow. But I think if you're going to chase either of those guys in waivers, if you're really desperate and it's nothing but tumbleweeds on your waiver wire, Burkhead is probably the guy to go after, not David Johnson.
Yes, I would agree with that. And again, it doesn't look pretty for Burkhead, but there's enough there for you to kind of be able to get away with if you are absolutely desperate with probably most fantasy managers are at this point. Broncos 28, Chargers 13. Both running backs were solid here. Javonte Williams 14 for 54 on the ground with the touchdown. He also has three catches for 57 yards, most on the backs of one really long, nice, impressive catch that he had in run. Meanwhile, Melvin Gordon leaves briefly early a little bit, but comes back 17 carries, 83 yards, one catch for 5 yards through the air. Anything change here with your rest of season evaluation with either guy?
No, I mean, I've just kind of had Javonte Williams like one spot ahead of Melvin Gordon because I think he's probably more talented, even though the usage is exactly the same. Yep. Yet another amazing Javonte Williams carry today where he had like four guys on his back and kept running where he seemed like his body was tilted almost horizontally to the ground and still somehow kept moving forward with all these guys on him.
Yep.
He's amazing. And they kind of needed those guys to both be really good today with the Drew Lock interlude at quarterback. And that didn't look good. So they needed everything they could get from their running backs to keep them afloat until Teddy could come back in the game.
Well, I mean, they both quarterbacks combined for 155 yards passing here in this game. And, you know, all the receivers, obviously, when you have that few passing yards are terrible. I have Tim Patrick, 2 for 26, Jerry Jeudy, 2 for 25, Cortland Sutton, 2 for 17. Pat, when do you want to start? Which of the Broncos wide receivers do you feel comfortable starting in your lineup regardless of matchup?
Jerry Jeudy. That's about it.
Do you have any worries over the fact that his snap? I mean, I know you're all over the snap counts. I don't know if you've seen, I mean, the snap counts were, he was lower, you know, obviously he ran roughly the same number of routes, I guess. So that's more what matters, but his snap counts were, you know, pretty consistently below Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. So, if he was below Patrick, I mean, it's bothersome, but, he's still out there in three wide receiver sets. You know, I think probably when it's two receiver sets, they're probably running more often than not. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to lose a lot of market share based on the lower snap counts than Tim Patrick.
All right. We'll be ready for next week when you tell everybody to start Jerry Jeudy over Jalen Waddle and he doesn't do anything. And then it's all right. I've got the room set up for you. It's okay. Bunk beds for you good. And Will, Pat. You're all good, bud. For the Chargers, Austin Eckler, 99 total yards with the score. Justin Herbert throws for 303 with two touchdowns, also two interceptions, though. Keenan Allen, 10 targets, 7 catches, 85 yards. Usual deal. Let's talk about Mike Williams. 8 targets, good. 4 catches, 39 yards. Pat, what are your thoughts on Mike Williams going forward?
Yeah, it could have been a better day, Dan. He had one near misconnection on a sideline throw where he just couldn't bring it in. Would have been a really tough catch. And just a horrible offensive pass interference call that took away maybe a 20 to 25-yard throw. Just absolute trash call. Still though, I mean, this is concerning for sure. I think he's kind of fallen out of, I mean, he was in wide receiver one territory earlier in the year, Dan, and now I think he's like wide receiver three territory, and you're almost looking for an excuse not to start him.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Again, he had the huge game against Pittsburgh because of a completely like broken coverage that wound up late in the game, right? Other than that, it was going to be the same thing that he just wasn't getting done. Yeah, I mean, he's been in my starting lineup everywhere I roster him, but I would rather it not be the case. It's just very difficult to find somebody over him at this point. But yeah, I agree. I mean, this is like wide receiver three territory at best. Packers 36, Rams 28, all the uncertainty about Aaron Jones. And he does play, but he's really just second fiddle here, 10 for 23 on the ground. Meanwhile, A.J. Dillon, 20 for 69 on the ground, but catches all five of his targets, Pat, 21 yards and the touchdown. We talk about this every week. He continues to be so much better as a receiver than I think either one of us anticipated. But okay, now they've got the bye. We're going to assume that Jones is going to be healthy after the bye, fully healthy, ready to go. How do you see this backfield playing out now with both backs healthy rest of season?
Boy, maybe a 55-45 workload split in Jones's favor. That's what I'm going to bet.
Okay.
So which I think is going to leave Jones as a running back, high-end running back two, say running back 13, running back 14, Dylan at like maybe running back 21, 22, right around there, like both playable. One of the few backfields that can produce two imminently playable running backs every week.
Yeah.
Even in tricky matchups.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's how I see it. But I'll being honest, I trust you a little more, Pat. You're a fan of the team. I think you probably have a little more insight than I do. But yeah, I do. Both guys will be startable, but there's just no way you can, you know, because Dylan for a while early in the season, or at least for a stretch, was getting like 13 touches a game. And you were like, okay, here we go. And then he just kind of was marginalized for a little while. Like, that's not going to happen again. I don't think you can do that. Dylan looks great when he's out there for the most part. And he runs so hard, like every time. So many times. I mean, I can't count the number of times where I feel like he's got to convert the third down, Pat, and he's hit early and you're like, oh, they didn't get it. And he just fights his way through and winds up gaining 2 or 3 yards. It's great to watch. So I do agree with you. Some interesting stuff here with the passing game. I do want to talk about that. Aaron Rodgers, 307 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, also the rushing touchdown. He can, you know, forget about the fractured toe, continues to do extremely well. Devontae Adams, 9 targets, 8 catches, 104 yards. Randall Cobb does catch the touchdown, 95 yards, but he does leave with a groin injury. What about Marquez Valdes-Scantling here, Pat? 9 targets, 4 catches, 50 yards. So a 10-target game followed by a 9-target game. I mean, is that anything that we can sort of start looking to as a potential guy that can help us out on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I think before we trusted no one but Devontae Adams in this wide receiver core, and now I think we can start considering MVS as a guy to maybe flex or use as a third receiver, and especially if Cobb isn't able to go in week 14 coming out of their bye. Like, I think that further enhances MVS's standing.
Yeah. I found myself buying into MVS, Pat, when I was looking at my rest of season rankings. There's a pretty big difference, actually, and I was a little higher than you, which I scared me again, because any difference of opinion I have with you on the Packers certainly makes me a little nervous. But this did strike me as something where I thought that he could kind of carve out a role for himself. So I am interested to see what it looks like out of the bye. For the Rams, we already talked about Jefferson and Beckham. Cooper Kupp, as usual, 10 targets, 7 catches, 96 yards. Darrell Henderson, 20 touches, 73 yards, and the score. Matthew Stafford, again, we had the reports right before the game that he's pretty banged up everywhere, it sounds like. Now, I don't know how real it is or not. He hasn't really been on the injury report very much this year, but 302 yards, 3 touchdowns. He does have the bad interception. I'm not sure there's much to discuss here, Pat, other than the 2 wide receivers that we already did. I mean, you're obviously starting Kupp, you're starting Henderson, and you're starting Stafford each week, right?
Yeah, no worries about Stafford. I mean, some people on Twitter asked me whether we should be concerned about that. And yeah, maybe he's a little beaten up. Who knows? It could have been the cold might have affected him. You know, he was under pressure quite a bit today, and we've seen the Packers defense make in the last month or so make Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, some pretty good quarterbacks look bad, and they made Stafford kind of look bad today. He had the big plays that sort of floated his value today. You know, 2 just blown coverages on the long Beckham and the long Jefferson touchdowns, but yeah, for the most part he was pretty off today, but I'm not too worried.
Yep, I am inclined to agree. Let's go to the 49ers 34, Vikings 26. Again, mentioned the Debo Samuel stuff where he just basically gets no catches at all, but he runs for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's something that I did not expect to see necessarily, but I am here for it. Again, he did leave with the groin injury. I said at the top of the show, Adam Schefter tweeted out right before that he'll get an MRI, but there's optimism that he doesn't have any sort of serious injury, which is great news because he is a must-start option. As is Brandon Ayuk now, Pat, right? I mean, 6 targets, 3 catches, 91 yards. He continues to just kind of be this reliable wide receiver that I think is sort of a set it and forget it option at this point.
Yeah, only six targets today, but he did pay off. And the thing is with this, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Dan, with the weird Debo Samuel hybrid running back wide receiver usage, I think it makes Ayuk like more viable and more trustworthy as like this consistently involved player. And we saw that today, like even on a day where Kittle got kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Any concerns about that, by the way? The fact that, I mean, I feel like as the top tight ends, we just talked about it with Pitts, like the two target, one catch, 13 yard day, those shouldn't happen. Like, you know, like the down games for Waller, that doesn't happen absent injury, right? So
it's kind of one of those things where you wonder if it hurts Kittle sometimes that he's such a good blocker, that he is like the best blocking tight end in the league, and it actually detracts from his fantasy value.
It
sucks to have to talk about that. Damn, he's so good at football. It hurts him when he's trying to contribute to my fantasy team. But
right. And be a worse blocker. Be a worse blocker next time, Kittle. But exactly. It's fine. Yeah, and again, but I mean, helps the running game. Elijah Mitchell, who again was banged up. So I try to toe the line on the rankings, Pat, when I'm doing the start sit, where I'm like, well, I expect him to play. I think he's going to play. It's a late game. Like, there's a chance maybe he doesn't. And if he does, are they going to give him a full workload because he's got the finger? And 27 carries, 133 yards, and a touchdown. Plus, by the way, I like that he's just suddenly involved in the passing game. Six targets, five catches, 35 yards. I mean, he's just, what, Pat, a super high-end RB2 at this point going forward?
Yeah, I think so. And, even with the concerns today, I had him running back 19, and I was kind of worried if that was too high. And it turned out to be too low. So
I think I had him at 24, Pat, because I was concerned. I mean, I was really concerned. I was like, well, look, sure, he's got the finger. Wilson looked fine last week. And we talked about had he caught that touchdown and Garoppolo not totally missed him, would have totally justified how you and I felt about him. So I was a little concerned. So I was willing to go with some other options. And again, that turned out to be a mistake. For the Vikings, the big thing, of course, is the Dalvin Cook injury. It sounds like the latest thing I've heard is a dislocated shoulder. Sometimes that means that you can maybe play through it. It's like half the guys in the league are playing with dislocated shoulders, but it's not good no matter what. So maybe he misses some time. Alexander Mattison does find the end zone, 7 for 21 on the ground. I think that was before, actually, the Cook injury even. But obviously, if he's available, he's the top pickup this week, of course. And you would start him, but we'll just wait to see on that. Cousins throws for 238 and two touchdowns with a pick. Both touchdowns go to Adam Thielen, 7 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards. Justin Jefferson, 9 targets, 4 catches, 83 yards. Pat, Thielen was 21st for you in your rest of season rankings. Does this game move the needle at all?
No, kind of the same old with him. Like, he outkicks his touchdown expectations so consistently. Like, we have to consider that part of it. But Jefferson is still going to be the alpha here. But amazing catch on the second touchdown by Thielen, too.
So falling
one way and then reaching back and, like, flypaper hands.
I know.
Catch. Just incredible. So, I think he's just solid wide receiver too, and you like that skinny target tree. I mean, remember when people were thinking you could almost start KJ Osborne earlier in the season? Like, he has completely disappeared. I think Jefferson's a wide receiver one, Thielen a wide receiver two.
I will take this, Pat. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Props Fantasy. Come check out the Tournament of Champions. Just sign up with propsfantasy.com/pros. Cash in on the Tournament of Champions that started with week 12 action. Also, registration gives you a chance to win a signed Aaron Rodgers helmet. And the more challenges you enter, the more chances you have to win. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Thousands of auctions every single day. Go to pristineauction.com. See for yourself, PRISTINE auction.com. You want $5 in free credits. Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they'll know we sent you. That's going to do it for our recap show. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in live. More than 200 people giving us comments, having some fun in the chat. We'll talk to you again on the Waiver Wire show tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.